Welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. I'm super glad that you are joining me here, and I'm excited because today starts the first of what I hope to be many interviews. There's so many people that I've met along my path that have beautiful spiritual stories that have impacted my life, brought me medicine that's been helpful for my life journey, and so there are people that I would like the rest of you to get to know. When I decided I wanted to do interviews, the first person that came to mind for me was my dear friend Kava. Kava can tell you a little bit more about herself and her story and where she's come from. But the medicine that Kava brought to me was song, Community Song Circle. I am eager to share with you some of her knowledge and some of my experience about Song Circle and the medicine that it's brought for both of us. So Kava, thanks for joining me on this debut interview.
Oh, it's my honor. It's my honor to be here with you and to talk about song.
Yeah, well, and we've been through, some things as friends over the years. I think I first came to Song Circle. I was trying to think about this the other day, how long ago it's been. I was relating to the fact that I'd been on this spiritual journey trying to figure things out, and I'd found kirtan. So I'd really enjoyed the idea of chanting and opening my voice and my throat. And that ended, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I realized that you're, leading this song circle, and I saw it advertised a few different times, and I thought, oh, I don't know how to sing, and I don't know if I should go. I don't know these people, all this hesitation that I had. And then I went. One Sunday afternoon, I believe it was, I just decided to go. And since then, it has become one of the pieces that has been most profound for impacting positively my ability to hold the highest me. And so when we think soul up, that's what I think about, is it's helped me soul up. So thank you for being there and leading that. So let's talk about Song Circle a little bit. For me, it was about maybe 4 or 5 years that I started going, you've been singing longer than that.
I think it's been longer for you, too.
Maybe so. It's been a while.
Maybe 2017?
Maybe so. Yeah, it's very possible. Yeah, it's a while back.
Yeah.
And, for a while, every Sunday we were gathering up and singing and opening our throat. One of the things that I guess appealed to me the most about Song Circle when I got there was your main message, which has been very clear and very welcoming to me from the very beginning, that idea of I can't do it wrong. It's not about how well I can read music or harmonize, or it's not any of that. It's a bigger story.
It's a bigger story. And I would not have started singing. I guess this is what people don't know about me. It's in this, our little community here in Viroqua, I've only been singing since 2012. And before that, I hadn't sang out loud for almost 45 years because I was told by my kids in school that I had a terrible voice and I should never sing out loud. And it made a soul wound for me. And I think so many people in our culture especially have this soul wound that their voice isn't good enough. That can come from all different places, but just even in mainstream schools, choir directors telling kids that their voice isn't good enough, or, embarrassing, humiliating people.
And so talk to me a little bit, if you can, about what is the medicine of singing? If we don't sing, does it matter?
I think about Leah Falls. The voice is an arrow to the heart of desire. Taken by the wind, it brings you to the fire. It's like the voice is connected to the soul. The truth of who I really am is somehow my true voice wants to speak the truth of my soul. Mm-hmm. And somehow that happens in song. And it's mysterious and powerful. I think about when I first came to the Viroqua area in 2011, and I found out for the first time in my life that the earth was alive, which turned me upside right and changed absolutely everything. And that's when I started to come into song. I found out the earth was alive, and it was so confusing that I actually thought I was going crazy. And so a friend told me to go to a shaman, and I found out in different schools of indigenous peoples' foundations in Native ways of thinking that the medicine man or the medicine woman, the shaman, if you will, would have medicine songs. And these songs would heal people, and it was a regular thing that they would sing these songs. And that's how the songs came in for me. Every single one of these songs is a medicine song that speaks to some part of my heart that heals my trauma, my personal trauma, and heals the world. It's just so powerful and unbelievable, because I was that person that said, I don't want to sing. Don't make me sing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting even to talk about the indigenous history of song. I mean, song, stories, you know, you talk about your awareness of the earth as a living thing that feels like that's so reflected in all of these indigenous cultures and their relationship with nature, with the earth, through and with the human being through voice and story and song.
It's what I found out in this like last 10, 12 years is really that I was disconnected from my true humanity, and that singing is a technology of humanity that we have lost connection to, or have in many ways lost connection to the whole culture. There's a certain belief within the culture, not everyone, but within the culture that says, if you don't sound like this person on the radio, you can't sing, and please don't sing out loud because it hurts my ears. And you'll hear people say this, don't sing. Don't sing, Mom. Mm-hmm, you know, and our voices, our precious voices, every human voice has its own print, like a thumbprint or a fingerprint. It's unique. It's a God-given spark of divinity. So, yes, I'm overwhelmed by the voice and song.
It's interesting.
And the power of song.
I'm appreciating, again, your comment about it being each person's voice being unique. That whole vibration idea, and I think that's part of where we're going with medicine and knowledge and just awareness of the greater understanding of life, is around vibration and energy. So, it's just interesting to think in the billions of people that we have our own unique song, our own unique tone, and that our voice reflects that personal, individual uniqueness within us. Pretty darn fascinating.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to say a word about the word indigenous, because it's kind of a sparky word. But when I say that, what I've seen in studying over this last 13, 14 years, different ways of tribal people, of people who have lived on the land, not just in the United States, but in South America, in Africa, in Europe, tribal people that have maintained their relationship to the land. It's for us to remember that this is where we all came from, that indigenous doesn't mean just one, a Native American tribe or something like that. We have to think bigger. We were all hunter-gatherers at some time. We came from that lineage of hunter-gatherers. And those people got together at night and sang. Every night, they sang to each other for everything. Everything was ceremony. When someone found out they were pregnant, the women went out and sang for the baby's song so they would know who that baby was. It's something that was woven into the culture, which has been pulled out of the culture, again, over these thousands of years, right, of, you know, whatever, power over and competition and greed and whatever the mainstream world has taken on the culture.
It's interesting to think about, because I will say that I've always liked to sing, felt like that was something I, you know, wished I could do better, of course, but that I liked to do. So it was one of the things, the only reason I really like going to church. I could go to church and sing. And now we don't really even have places that we go to sing. People don't go to church like they used to. So we're not opening up our throats. We're not opening up our voices. And we're certainly not dancing and like reveling together to celebrate, I don't know, full moons or the pieces that we would have in the past.
What you just said reminds me so much of going to church. I went to church with a dear friend. We went to a hermitage where we went to mass, and the beautiful priest, he was just a beautiful monk. I think it was four times during the mass, he read an entreatment from the Bible saying, sing, Sing with all of your voice. Sing, you know, sing is the highest form of praise. Sing all these Bible voices. Like, I'm not a Bible quoter, but I mean, they were quotes from the Bible entreating people to sing. We did not sing one song. No one sang. I was waiting to sing. I'm saying, it's like, yes, let's sing. Let's do it. Not a song, no song. We talked about singing in church. We didn't sing. I mean, so this is how far away that, like idea of like how we love to sing in church, and even some churches coming to talk about singing in church is like feeling like maybe that's song. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not at all.
One of the things it feels like to me that when we don't sing is that we really block up our energy system. Like you said, that impulse, I mean, I think the impulse for singing comes from like solar plexus or deeper place. It's like, but it is a way our creative expression. And what happens then when we don't sing is, I guess I'm thinking about the way that constricts the energy system. And of course, I think about women, maybe not to be too gender focused, but women, you know, I've always heard that and I know I do. I can feel it in my throat sometimes, like when I want to say something, but I don't. It's like it gets stuck in there. Oh, and that just feels like one of the things that happens when we don't sing is that we do restrict our voice. And is this even part of the cultural story for women? We've restricted our voice for so long.
Restricted, we lost our voice. We lost our voice. We're regaining our voice, maybe. We've taken steps to regain our voice, steps that are now being trampled on in some places, but yes.
Individually and collectively.
So what I see here, and I have to speak from my own experience. So I'm this trauma kid. I had like severe early childhood repeated trauma, and so like I have this trauma imprint on me that's very strong. And in the trauma of my childhood and my upbringing, my voice was shut down super early in my life, right? I mean, you don't have an opinion. You don't have a voice. I was told by my father I did not have a voice. I did not have an opinion. And that was repeated in many ways with or without physical punishment, with or without, you know, other mental harassment. But so I believed this stuff about myself. But more importantly is like that you talked about energy blocks. And I can see that I have like my hands, I'm holding my hands up over my throat chakra. And for me, I had this huge energy block. And so what happened for me, this is a path. It's like our culture, it's not a safe place to sing in our culture. In most places, with most people, everything is not the same, but with most people, it's a risk to sing, to let your voice come out. So what happens, what I see energetically is there's a block here. I don't have a voice. So I have an energetic block, literally an energetic ball of energy that's in my throat that will not let my soul voice itself, my heart and soul, who I am, my child, my essence, it's like it gets blocked right there. So this is a painful thing. It's not something that I can say, oh, I understand. At least it's not something I could say, oh, I understand, so now I'm going to sing. It took like identifying that I had an energy block to this very healing energy, and then identifying that there was a wound there. Where was that wound? When I was 12 years old and 18 kids were laughing at me because of my voice, initial wound. Maybe that was an initial wound, probably earlier when I was 7, when my dad said I didn't have a voice or an opinion, right? But it's all like this big ball of energy that my body is holding. And so I have this wound, the wound hurts, so then there's fear. And I get tight if somebody asks me to sing and my vocal cords get tight and it's terrible, right?
Uh-huh.
So like breaking out of this cycle is like all of our trauma, layered and complex, right? We need to hold our scared child with compassion, to take courage, to have a safe place. And that's where the song circle, the community song circles come in. And specifically how I hold my community song circle in a way that it doesn't matter. This is not about what note you hit, if you remember a word or not, if you go up or down at the wrong place. None of that matters. What matters is that we are moving our voices, we are allowing our voices to come out in whatever way we can with courage. and they are creating a circle of energy that encompasses everyone in the circle. And that is the medicine and the power that heals. There's so many pieces to it.
Yeah, and that's really beautiful. And I just had this image while you were talking of the lump in the throat dissolving as we're able to be held or to open up that space and let that energy out and free, you know, rise through that fear and let that energy out. It actually literally dissolves the lump in our throat.
It took me over time. So what happened for me was I was trying to make sense out of this, the earth coming alive to me and getting messages from the earth. So I went to the shaman and I went to a shamanic apprenticeship class where I met Liz Rogg. Liz Rogg is a master at community songs and community singing. And so she was in my apprenticeship class and she had a song for everything. And I pushed her away hard. I mean, she's like, I have a song for the sunrise. I have a song for lunch. I have a song for this pain. I have a song for this joy. I just wanted her to leave. And we were in class for 6 months together. And there was this energy between us where she was always inviting song. And I was saying, you know, what the heck? I came here to learn shamanic healing tools. I didn't come here to learn how to sing, which is pretty funny now in retrospect, right? But it took me 6 months to open my voice and courage and tears. And after I opened my voice, which happened in the last gathering of our apprenticeship, we sang one song. It's called I Behold You. And it cracked my heart open. And then after that, I sang it in the shower crying, or in the car crying. I still like hid and sang it. And it felt like I had to sing it a long time to allow my body to heal all those ragged edges and beliefs that my voice wasn't good enough, that my heart wasn't good enough, that my soul wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So that's why we hold, that's in my song circle, especially why I hold that you can't do it wrong piece so intently.
Yeah. From my story too, it feels very accurate that it takes time and conscious awareness and just, I guess, the willingness to open up and sing wherever we can or do, shower, car, whatever. It does take time to dissolve that lump. It doesn't just magically go away.
And then sometimes it does, right? I mean, you could have that magic song that comes in, like we were talking about before the interview. It's like just to sing one song before you start something. Or in an organization, to have one song that ties you together energetically where you can kind of step out of normal human thinking, you know, and move into like that soundscape that seems to embody spirit as well as thought.
Well, this seems like an opportunity. Maybe we should sing that song that we were singing before because it feels very relevant. The song is about being open to possibilities, to like allow something new to happen and be willing to do, I don't know, something a little different. So shall we try?
Can I do a disclaimer?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to say to your people out there to take just a moment to turn off that little switch in your head that says, oh, this is good singing. Oh, this is not good singing. And to tune into the energy of the song, the feeling of the song. What does it bring up? Turn that brain off for just a minute and try to open your heart and even sing along.
Sure. I'm a very logical person, so I like words. So the affirmation, the words of this song is something that really resonates with me too. So allow the tune, the words. I appreciate that, Kava, because I'm not a professional singer and it makes me a little nervous even just to sing here. But it's not about that. It's about just opening our voice and allowing the energy out. So, all right, shall we?
Yeah, I'm just going to say one more thing about this song. I love it. It's like such a wonderful science of mind song right now, like a Joe Dispenza, we can create our own reality song. I mean, if you're doubting that, grab on to this because it is the medicine song that will help you get through that doubt.
Okay, so you're going to start us or how are we going to do this?
Okay, so what we do is call and response. You never have to read any music. You never have to do anything else. It's just I sing, you sing, and breathe a lot. So I'll sing first. Big breath. Be open for something wonderful to happen. Should we sing it together? Be open for something wonderful to happen. Be open to possibility. Be open for something wonderful to happen. Be open to possibility. I-A, I-A, I-A. I-A, I-A, I-A. I-A, I-A, I-A. I-A, I-A, I-A. Be open for something wonderful to happen. Be open to possibility. Be open for something wonderful to happen.
I love this song, Kaeva, because, I mean, we get so close to the possibilities. We get so stuck in our ruts and our ways of doing things and what we think is possible. And so, you know, that's a great song. And for me, that has been such a big part of the medicine of song is the words, the affirmations, the simple messages that come around and then all of a sudden, it's kind of like you said with Liz Rogg, oh, I have a song for that, or, you know, something will pop into my head. And I'm so grateful for that. To me, it's the medicine when it just starts kind of taking on a life of its own.
And for me, the blessing in that, there's a real big blessing, a personal blessing for me, because when you came into Song Circle, whatever that was, 8 years ago or something, you were a little bit of a hesitant singer. And you have infused song into your programs, into your astrology, into your bigger life, into your grieving your brother. It's like the medicine of song is it's a tool for you, and it makes me like excited because that's my mission, right?
Yeah.
It has become, who knew?
Yeah, well, and I have to thank you for that. And I want to mention, like you talked about the call and response. It was a gradual opening for me that you facilitated by the fact that we started with songs that were just call and response. You sing something, I sing back. I didn't, you know, short little phrases that weren't too hard to remember, or I'd hear them a couple of times and I'd be able to respond. Starting with that and then working up to, you know, what's beautiful about Song Circle is the variety of, I don't know, skill, that's not the right word, even skill level, depth of song, because it, you know, you start these little simple call and responses, then, you know, there's things like layer songs where different voices come together and create something beautiful. And then, of course, you get to the place where there's harmonies or, you know, some of these, like, you sing a lot of Lawrence Cole songs, and again, they're so beautiful, and there's like five layers. It's like all over the place, and it's just really cool. And when you get this whole big group of people and the harmonies are going and the vibration is happening and there is this space, and you talk about this often where the song ends, and I'm going to say you can feel the vibration. There is an energy in the air that is lingering as the voices wind into silence.
Lawrence Cole calls it enchanted silence, where it feels like at the end of the song, it just kind of, the energy of it seeps into your bones. And again, it's not just the energy of the song, because it's the energy of the whole circle, right? It's so much greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's a place to talk a little bit more about the idea. Because you talk about that with Song Circle. You know, I go for my individual medicine, and yet I have found this greater community and this sense of, I don't know what to call it, accomplishment, beauty, something when that happens, when we've created this sound that now I know ripples onward, or I can feel it. That's just such an amazing experience. But I guess what I'm wondering about is you talk about that as the sense of belonging and the importance of belonging and that how song contributes to that.
Yes. Yeah, belonging. I've been chasing that for a while. Interesting.
I think we all have in some ways. Maybe that's part of the human condition again. I see so much about, I mean, people trying to find our place. Where are we welcome? Where do we feel like we fit? Where do we belong? Who are our people? I mean, what do we, you know, how do we open to each other in some greater way?
Right. And that's the scare in the singing, is that, like, opening, we all have our cultural armor on.
Yeah, it brings us back to that fear place, doesn't it?
Well, it can. And that's okay, I mean, because that's where we're starting. We have to be real about where we are, and that's where the courage comes in. And that's where a community song circle comes in, because it's not just you and three other people. It's you and 10 or 12 or 40 or 150 other people. So your voice isn't front and center. You have safety in that. You also have a group of people who are really wanting to hold this and heal this in themselves, these wounds of competition between each other, of comparing ourselves to each other, of judging each other, of judging ourselves, our own precious voices. It's like this group that is attracted to community singing, it's very much a healing group. And healing not in that, oh God, we're all sick, but healing in that, oh God, we're all God. We can see that we're, you know, we come together, and there's the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. It's more. It's the energy is more. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think so. And I guess what's in my head is even, yeah, I like you, I'm not a good Bible quoter, but the whole idea of where two or three are gathered, you know, what can we do together? What happens exponentially in what we can create together, as opposed to this individualized, competitive, like kind of you're on your own comparing yourself to other philosophy. So to open up to that whole sense of what can be greater together.
And to actually have that experientially, for me, it first happened at Village Fire, which was a gathering of about 400 people that came to create a village in the wilderness, to just create a village, to live together for a week and a half and sing. And that's where I started to feel the belonging. That's where I saw a whole different way of life. People weren't competing. Everybody had a job. There was nobody like making a ton of money. There was so much love there and so much safety to be yourself, to, you know, permission to sing, permission to dance the way how you dance, permission to go and be quiet if you needed to go and be quiet. And that's also the first place where you were talking about that enchanted silence at the end of a song. That was the first place I really experienced our whole group really moving up in energy, like transcending the song brought us out of this samsara, if you will, the focus on what's wrong with us or the culture. It brought us out of it into this more angelic, like, oh my God, we're all singing and harmonizing together, and this feels so good in my body. This feels so good.
I love that. I mean, that's just such a great example of the vibration rising and how that shifts consciousness, how it shifts our sense of being in the world. I want to say that's where the magic happens. I appreciate that story. I love the fact that that happened. And I was stunned when I moved here and even started hearing a little bit about this singing event that was happening that everybody in town seemed to go to. I didn't have any idea that there were song circles like that or that people were gathering to sing. Since I've been more involved in the song circle experience, I'm surprised still to see the ongoing growth. It seems to be a really expanding movement, and more people are singing. And I see people coming to you, you know, for either training and song, you know, becoming more song circle leaders. You know, you have these different events that you put on that are going crazy. People are like contacting you from different parts of the country to say, hey, I want in.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
It's growing for sure.
Yeah. You're talking about Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, well, Wisconsin is an event that you created a couple of years ago, right? And I know it's now scheduled to occur next month. And registration, I mean, it's full, right? You know, and it's every year that you've, well, what is this, the third year? Tell me more about Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin was born out of Village Fire, so it's really kind of an ember camp. But I had this idea, right, coming out of Village Fire, that I wanted to create a event where the Wisconsin and area state song leaders are recognized, the song leaders that are, have their feet on the ground and are hosting community song circles, you know, week in, week out, year in, year out. That was my original idea. And then Rick Kemp from Madison, also a Village Fire participant, came in to help me with that. So our first one was in 2019 as a March spring equinox ceremony. And then in 2020, COVID came in and just kind of shut us down. So the next one was in 2023 at Bethel in the summer. And now we have our second summer Wisconsin. It's actually our third Wisconsin gathering. Yeah. And I also have continued to do the March equinox song circles along with song leading at that event. Yeah, we have 150 people coming this year.
Do you see that? Do you see this as a growing thing? Can you speak to that?
Oh, I hope it is, because it's so important for me. I mean, what I've found originally with the Village Fire group was my own belonging, my own voice, compassion, kindness, awareness of the earth, and so many gifts. And just one person can't do that for the world. So hopefully I see Wisconsin as another little village, another little group of people that are holding each other in song year after year, and encouraging this new energy of nonviolent communication and compassion and love as a spiritual path. I think these need to jump up all over the place.
And
yes.
Are they? It seems like it, Kiva.
It's getting more. I mean, we've gotten invitations for like maybe three different song circles since this year when we were advertising. And yeah, they're bumping up like crazy. And Minneapolis, Chicago now has a couple song circles. Michigan just had a big event, and it's happening all over. And it needs to continue. People are reconnecting. They're reclaiming their voices. And we, as a general rule, not everyone, but a lot of us have lost our voices and our hope even in this culture.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite song memories is during COVID. You mentioned the shutdown.
Oh, this is a good one.
Everybody was shut in. You know, it was shortly after all the COVID stuff was coming down. So it was, probably late spring or maybe early summer.
Super scary.
Yeah, and we were all, you know, trying to adjust to, you know, being at home and what are we going to do? But we decided we could be outside. But we weren't meeting for Song Circle then. We, you know, had decided that wasn't appropriate either. But you and I went walking around one day. And it was such a fun day. It takes me back to that uplifting that you mentioned with Village Fire. There was something about walking around town all day, singing this song, and both the lyrics of the song and the energy of the song, it felt like we were putting out good. That's an example of a layer song.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we try it?
Yes, let me say a little bit more about that.
Okay.
It was really sweet because there were people that we met along as we were walking just the little streets of Viroqua. One elder woman was standing outside of her house and she said, "Oh, can I learn that song with you?" And so we taught her the song and she sang it with us for a little while. And another group of people we met were doing something outside, and we're really grateful that we sang to them and thanked us.
Yeah,
there might have been more.
There was a few, because there was, you know, again, people were staying close to home, but people were outdoors. It was nice weather. And it was interesting for me in a way, too, because, you know, dealing with my own embarrassment, it's like, oh, my God, I'm walking around town singing. You know, that's not politically correct or socially acceptable or something. This is outside of my box for sure. But people were very responsive, and it felt really good.
You want to sing it?
I do.
This mm-hmm. song is by Leah Morris, and it's called "I'm Going to Keep My Heart Wide Open." And I guess I will teach it one time.
Sure.
And then maybe you'll just keep that going, and I'll add the top after a little
while. I'll try my best.
And you can't do it wrong, okay. Right? Right, right, uh-huh. Right. So, Big breath. I'm gonna keep my heart wide open. I'm gonna keep my heart wide open. Though the waves wanna push me around. Though the waves wanna push me around. I'm gonna keep my heart wide open till my faith brings me back to solid ground. Should we try that?
Sure.
I'm gonna keep my heart wide open till my faith brings me back to solid ground.
Back to solid ground. You know, they bring us back to center. They bring us back to heart, to core. Probably walking around that day, getting grounded. There was just a lot of good things that brought us back to self.
Oh, and look at, I mean, just for us, we weren't at home wringing our hands looking at the computer at that time with the gazillions of deaths that they were, you know, saying were going to happen. And I mean, it was a way to get out into the world and open our hearts ourselves and mentor, give that gift to anyone that was willing to receive it at the time. And It was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm fascinated by the idea of energy and its ability to ripple on. So certainly there were the people that we encountered that day and that joined us. And yet I think, and I wonder, where did that love energy and that joy energy and that connecting energy, where all did it go that day?
No, we won't know that probably for a while.
No, not so easy to measure.
I don't know, yeah. Songs are really sweet.
Yes, they are. They have saved me on many occasions. I went to a family reunion one time where there was just some, you know, family dynamics. I mean, I love my family and all that, but there's certainly family dynamics. And, you know, it was a weekend together, and so there was things that were getting stirred. And I just found myself very grateful for the lyrics of the song that said, "When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. I breathe in peace, I breathe out love. I breathe in peace, I breathe out love." There's so many times like that, that lyrics have come forward in a way for me that have helped me settle, reorient, come back to me.
Yeah, yes, yeah. There is just these wonderful hundreds of little medicine songs that are floating out there. And even the songs seem to have their own message and their own spirit. We just catch them, you know. The song leaders are amazing, and there's so many new ones that it's beautiful songs for these times. And I just want to say a little bit about grief songs and songs that hold anger and sadness, because I think that we try to push those away because someone said that's negative energy, but really it's just human energy, and we need to be able to process that too. And song is the greatest gift for processing grief. I'm actually writing a song right now, and one of the lines is, "This song eats separation." This song, and that's what the songs do. They actually, the energy of the song masticates the grief that we can't do ourselves. But in community, the songs masticate the grief. So it's so wonderful to have a few songs for people to be able to sing and to sit in and to realize themselves. And we have a whole little choir in Viroqua now that's new. That's the Healing Hearts Threshold Choir for hospice and song for people that request it in times of challenge or transition. Any place where there's grief, and there's grief everywhere.
Well, and I appreciate what you're saying about how the song allows the emotion to process through. Yeah, because I think about Song Circle at one point where it was one of the first ones that I went to, and one of the songs that you led and where we were singing was, "I Behold You, Beautiful One. I Behold You, Child of the Earth and Sun." And I just started bawling. It was like, that was a message that I had really, I don't know, heard or taken in before. There was something in the energy of that moment that it was like it released all of this blot to my heart of how I held myself and how I saw myself. There's so many beautiful experiences we could talk about.
Well, that song broke my heart open too. That's the song that we sang to each other in death rites in our shamanic apprenticeship. And it's a powerful song. That's Amy Ringel's song, Angel Wash. Beautiful song. It was the first time that I really felt that I was connected to something that was real. And there's that wound, I guess, that early, for me, it was an early Christian wound of, like, my family believing that I was evil coming in. And I think there is like a seed of not enoughness for so many people in our culture that have this kind of belief that we're sinful or evil at the core, which we're love. But their songs to touch all of that, right?
Yeah.
And I Behold You, Beautiful One is perfect.
And emotion is something that so many of us have a huge backlog of. We've held it in. We haven't allowed emotion, whether it's anger or grief or loneliness or self-doubt or whatever the emotion is. We've walled up so much of that. That feels so very important, that if we are going to soul up, that we want to release the heavy, heavy emotions.
And allow ourselves to be human. Yeah. Allow ourselves to be human. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, that's...
I was at a little camp, it's a nice camp, about 80 people, a singing camp at the beginning of June. And it was not uncommon to see any person in that circle cry and be held by a number of people. But especially for me, it was powerful to see the men cry and to be held or to hold themselves and let the tears fall and continue to sing in whatever way they could or breathe and let the group hold them or the song hold them that we were singing. It was so beautiful and powerful and proof that we are opening to our humanity. This is just our humanity. We can't cut off a certain part of ourselves and expect to be whole. We can't say, I'm not going to feel grief or I'm not going to feel anger. It's part of our reality. How do we feel it and let it go?
Yeah, because otherwise when we block it, we mess it up. I mean, there was a doctor that talked about our body will cry the tears that our eyes won't. So basically saying that our body will hold that in some ways that it contributes to dis-ease, to illness, to rigidity, to bitterness. So even as we're talking about song and all of the medicine that brings, it's not, I mean, I think physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, it impacts us and benefits us on all of those levels. It's one of those medicines that wherever we take it, it makes a difference on all of those levels.
It reminds me of one of my teachers, Martine Prechtel, who is a shaman in Central America. And he talks about the human life being a wheel and that the tears of joy make way for the tears of grief and the tears of grief make way for the tears of joy. And we're just on this circle and that it's all part of being human, right? It's all that circle of being human. So beautiful. And I feel so privileged after really, you know, being unconscious most of my life to have opened to this new awareness of what a human really can be.
There's so much possibility. We just don't know what all we're capable of. And I think we are on a path of expansion and of opening to greater life. And this is moving beyond our rigid places. So being willing to sing, being willing to open to something different.
Open with kindness, yeah, to really be kind to ourselves, you know. And the voice, it gets better and better as it's used. The more you sing, the better it's, I mean, when I first started singing, it's like, I can only sing low. Don't make me sing high. Get away from me. I can't sing high. But over the years, it's really, my whole range has lengthened on both sides. And it's just like any other part of our body, any other muscle, and we learn to use it, and it's powerful.
That's interesting to think about. At one point, I was hearing basically just singing the musical scale, like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Just to do that a few times lines up our energy system. It like links up and opens our chakras, gets everything moving well. And I definitely noticed that if I sing that a few times, my voice gets stronger, I feel stronger, I feel different. And so just opening up just that little bit makes a difference.
Song is the highest form of praise. It's the highest vibration we can do. I know I am like this, who knew this after not singing for my whole life that I'd be this song zealot, right? That just, oh my gosh, I'm a Liz Rog. I have a song for this and a song for that and a song for this. It is the medicine. It's free. And it's available any moment. Those songs are there to hold you, to love you, to remind you of who you are at your core.
That's beautiful. Well, all right. I guess this probably explores the idea of song circle. If we think of wrapping this up, do you have other things you want to share?
Well, Song Circle in Viroqua is the second and fourth Sunday of the month at the Commons at 2:00 to 3:30, except this coming fourth Sunday, I think, is going to be at the Second Nature Reed's Creek, because there's a difference in the schedule. So come to Reed's Creek on the fourth Sunday of the month at 2:00.
Okay, and how can people, if they would like to know more about Song Circle, or even though registration is full for Wisconsin this year, people would like to know more about your events, how can they reach you, Kava?
Well, I think our website is truenaturewithkava.com, and there's a lot of information about the song events that I am offering, as well as who I am and what I'm up to.
So say that again, truenaturewithkava.com?
truenaturewithkava.com.
Okay, and Kava is spelled K-V-A.
Yes, it is.
All right. We close Song Circle every week with the same song, and it feels like a very powerful song for sending forth this energy that we create during our beautiful experiences of Song Circle. So it seems appropriate, Kava, that we close with that song. You all right with that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just see if we can sing it together. You start and I'll join in whenever you're ready.
May this pool of love we have gathered here spread its wings and fly far and near from the depths of our hearts to the farthest star. May our love bless everyone. May our love bless everyone.
Thanks a lot for being here, Kava. I appreciate you taking
so
the time
welcome.
To sing
Thank
with
you.
Me today. Awesome. So grateful for the medicine you bring.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Smoothing every course, not leaning with my whole soul toward. Sweet honey.